and welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. It's 1:33 on February 12th, 2021. I'm Senator Mia Costello. I'd like to welcome Vice Chair Senator Holland. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Senator Stevens, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Senator Gray Jackson, thank you for being here.
Good afternoon.
Senator Rivak had another meeting that he had to attend, but he'll be listening in. I'd like to thank the recording secretary, Carrie, and the LIO operator, Nate, and my committee aide today, Katie McCall. Today we are hearing Senate Bill 9, which was introduced by the Senate President Michicki. Welcome, Senator Michicki, and his aide, Conrad Jackson, is here to provide the committee with the first hearing on this bill this session. The intent is to hold the bill, and Senator Michicki, would you like to go through the presentation or before you have questions, or are you interested in questions throughout?
I thank you, Madam Chair. I think we can give kind of a quick, brief overview and then see what questions follow up, if that's okay with you and the committee.
That sounds great. Thank you.
So, good afternoon, Chair Costello and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Peter Michicki, representing Senate District O on the Kenai. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 9 today. I'd like to emphasize that this legislation is a collaborative, years-long effort from a large group of stakeholders. And when you start thinking about the interaction of alcohol, we're number one in the country for the substance abuse problems related to alcohol. Yet it's also a very important part of the commerce of our state. So this group of stakeholders that we gathered as we worked through this includes public safety, public health, industry, the ABC board and AMCO and the legislature. But if you just separate it to sort of the stakeholder group, we've got about 16,000 hours into this bill. And when we talk about sort of the balance of all those things, if you try to go too far on one side, the public safety and public health object. If you absolutely give public safety and health everything they want, then we wouldn't have an alcohol industry. So it's kind of a balancing routine all the time. And the goals are promoting a fair business climate, protection of health and safety, limiting youth access to alcohol, promoting responsible alcohol use and reducing the harms of overconsumption, implementing change without negatively harming existing businesses and responsible operators, and finally expanding local control for municipalities. Now, keep in mind, the key concepts in Title IV still maintain the three-tier system, separation of manufacturers, wholesalers, and retailers to prevent monopolies. Licensure, you'll hear a lot about restructuring and reorganizing to what sort of makes sense. The hodgepodge of Title IV through the years has all these pieces kind of glued to it that are really disorganized, and it really is not the way we do business today. So this kind of captures the way business is being done, makes a lot more sense to it, and then it regulates the number of licenses available in each committee. And I really look forward to working with you. It really is about balance, and what you're going to find is you're probably going to hear from a brewery owner or two that doesn't like the bill, but the Brewers Guild supports the bill wholeheartedly. You're probably going to hear from a bar owner or two that would like something to be somewhat different, but Char supports the bill, who represents all of the licensees. There are some municipalities that would like a lot more expanded power to have issue their own licenses. We've worked with them to give some expanding the options available to them, and over time, if that proves to be effective, perhaps there'll be, you know, further changes as the industry evolves over time. But we largely have the support of municipalities as well. So I'm here to listen and see how we can make this the best bill possible, but I think we have a pretty good start here. after a lot of years with a lot of people getting us to this point.
Senator Michicki, would you like to introduce your chief staff?
Yes. To my right here, I have my staff that's working on this bill is Conrad Jackson. He's from our hometown in Kenai, and he's prepared to give a brief presentation.
Thank you, Chair Costello and members of the committee. Good afternoon. For the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Senator Michicki. I'll try to read through some foggy glasses here. We can do a couple of different things if you would like, Madam Chair, either directly into a sectional, which really gets to the meat of the bill. I'm sure you've all seen the sectional that's color-coded. This is a lengthy bill, as you've noticed, 125 pages, the sectional is 21 pages. So we tried to simplify this as much as possible. The yellow sections are not changed in the bill. They are reordered, renumbered for clarity and covering really one of the goals of the bill. The green sections are new concepts, new parts of the bill that we're tweaking a little bit of Title IV, again with a consensus of the stakeholders. The magenta or pink sections are penalties. In some cases they are new penalties. In many cases they are just old penalties that have been reordered, but we wanted to emphasize that we're not getting lighter on alcohol crimes. We are making sure that those are pointed out so everyone is very clear on those. You also have in your packets a presentation that has been done in past committees that is updated and current to the current bill, the current references to sections and statutory citations. And whatever your pleasure, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to run through this.
Thank you, Conrad, and I really appreciate the color coding. I had asked for that in a previous session, and I find it incredibly helpful, so I appreciate that. Let's go ahead and go through the sectional, and if you could, just so that we get it in the record, whether what you're talking about is green, meaning it's new, yellow, meaning it's just rewording it or adding a reference, or let's call it red for penalties. So if you could just state that before you go into that section, so those listening on online know whether this is something new, because obviously a big part of this, I know, is reordering the titles to make more sense. But the new parts, we really kind of want to go into a little more depth and go ahead and take it slow, because I've had this bill presented to me rapid speed, and I actually got dizzy at the end of the presentation. So feel free to just, you know, explain it. And if you need to give an example or a justification, feel free to do that. But we'll just work our way through the sectional.
Okay.
And see how far we get today.
Absolutely, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you.
I too, coming into this bill, have found this color coding in the sectional to be very helpful. And so I will just begin. We're dealing with version A of the bill, the first draft. You'll see on the first page of the sectional, a new section. Section 1 deals with the declaration of policy, the purposes and finding, and we're adding a new section, 04-06-005. That is found on page 1 and 2 of the bill. Sections 2, 3, and 4 are some new pieces that were just added this year, and they deal with the appointment of the public safety sector person on the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. The current language in Title IV requires that the public safety sector person be actively engaged in, must be from law enforcement. We've changed this to, from actively engaged in to from, so that we avoid the problem that we had this last year, where a current serving member of the ABC board, upon retirement, could no longer serve on the board. It made sense that, I guess, to just kind of use anecdotal, once a cop, always a cop. After 20 years, it was felt that the police officer, a law enforcement officer, hasn't really changed his spots. He's not suddenly changing his opinion on the enforcement of law. This will expand the pool of members who are available for that seat. Next, you'll see Section 5 is another green section, which changes some of the authority of the director of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. The next three sections, Section 6, 7, and 8, are yellow sections, therefore merely renumbered, reordered in the bill. On the next page of the sectional, you'll see Section 9 is in green, dealing with the powers and duties of the board, and it asks through a new subsection that the board prepare an education plan for public safety, industry, youth, municipalities, and just for the additional annual revision of that as well. The next section, Section 10, is in yellow, therefore, again, renumbered and reordered. Section 11 adds a new subsection that creates a statewide database that is an attempt at being able to track aggregate sales to local option areas. Section 12 is a yellow section, so therefore, again, renumbered. Then we get into the new Chapter 9, which is starts with Section 13. We have some new language colored in green, dealing with licenses, endorsements, and permits, so some new concepts there, but also relocates and renumbers many of the existing licenses currently and permits currently from Chapter 11. From there, we get into a number of new sections dealing with, or I'm sorry, reordered sections in yellow, the manufacturer licenses. And then if we switch over to the third page of the sectional, we see another section highlighted in yellow, which is again renumbered, but there's a small piece of green in 0409050 that deals with large manufacturers and wholesale distribution. The next section, as you'll see, is located in 09060. It's yellow, therefore relocated, renumbered, and there are some penalties referenced in that section. The following unauthorized manufacturer sale is in 0409080. It is in pink or red, and therefore a penalty section. If we go down to Article
3. Could you actually state what the penalty, so in 0409060, there's a red penalty, which means it's new, I guess. And then the next one down, if you could state what exactly is happening there.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'll back up to 060. And that's actually relocating the penalty that was in 0411010. All right. Then we go into 080, which is strictly via a penalty section defining unauthorized manufacturer sales as violating 0409050, and we establish the penalty there. And that is located on page 8 of the bill.
Question?
Senator Holland?
So just because the penalties are highlighted in red doesn't mean they're new. It just might mean that they've just been relocated and you highlight them in red to bring them to our attention, correct?
Senator Holland, through the chair, that's absolutely correct. In some cases, you will notice farther back in the bill, there is a notation that there are a new section or a new subsection, generally speaking. But the penalties, were just highlighted in the magenta just to bring them to people's attention.
Oh, okay. So, Conrad, I had said earlier that the penalties were new, but you're saying that it's just red if it relates to a penalty, and then there's a new penalty section? Is that correct?
It's Madam Chair, they are red to point out that they are penalties. In some cases, moved, reordered, renumbered penalties, and in some cases, brand new penalties.
Could you highlight for the committee any of the brand new penalties?
Absolutely, Madam Chair.
So far, have we had any brand new penalties? It looks like
I don't believe that we have. Yeah. No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki.
Just on a philosophy thing that the group all agreed to, primary interest of the public safety and public health is that we had misdemeanors in a lot of these sections, and they were never prosecuted. They were very difficult to, so you didn't see a change in behavior. And what we've determined is that by golly, it's a lot easier to just fine someone for an infraction, whether it's serving to an underage youth or over-serving to someone who's intoxicated. Penalties are now instantaneous, and it's something that we can actually use to change behavior when there's problematic operators. And you'll also see in the bill as we go through it is we used to have criminal behavior against servers, but there was no connection to the owner of the establishment. So the owner establishment wouldn't even know that something was going on because they were this now the penalties are not just for the servers, but there's also a penalty for the owner of the establishment so that they can deal with ongoing problems in their facility.
Thank you. Go ahead and continue, Conrad.
Thank you, Chair Costello. You'll see in the under Article 2 on page 3 of the sectional, a section dealing with a general wholesale license that has been reordered, as it is in yellow, and then there's a small tab there in green, and we're reducing the annual transaction fees for smaller businesses. And that is can be found on pages 8 and 9 of the bill. You'll see a similar section below that in 09110 dealing with a limited wholesale brewed beverage and wine license. We're again reducing the annual transaction fees for smaller businesses. The next three sections, 120, 130, and 140, are renumbered, reordered, therefore they're highlighted in yellow. The following sections, 150 and 160, deal with penalties and are highlighted in magenta in red, and those sections are found on page 11 and 12 of the bill. On the next page of the sectional, page 4, much of 09200 is simply reordered, renumbered, and highlighted in yellow, and you'll see a little red box there, magenta, and we're just referencing, reminding folks that there are penalties for unauthorized beverage dispensary activities. And you'll see a very similar section, the next three sections dealing with restaurant and eating place license holders, club licenses, and package store licenses, again reordered in yellow with a notation that there are penalties involved for violations of those license types. The next section, 09240, is a pub license. Again, reordered, a tab in magenta for the penalty, but we do have a new section dealing dealing with the designation of alternating premises, which allows a second location on a university campus, for instance, that must be operated during mutually exclusive hours from an existing license. That section is found on page 17 and 18 of the bill. The following four sections are again renumbered, reordered, with a penalty section. Those deal with theater licenses, common carrier dispensary licenses, sporting activity or event licenses, and outdoor recreation lodge licenses. The next section is a new section in the bill. It deals with the fair license. Everyone is familiar with the Alaska State Fair. This deals with a problem that that came up 2 years ago with that license. A new section, new concept. The next two sections deal with golf course licenses and destination resort licenses. Again, highlighted in yellow with a magenta tab to remind everyone that we're dealing with penalties of violations of the two license types. Next is section 09320, which is actually, Madam Chair, I'll kind of summarize. The next three sections deal with brewery retail licenses, winery retail licenses, and distillery retail licenses. Some new concepts in both of those, creating a new license type. We're also relocating some of the existing language, as you see highlighted in yellow, and we're also highlighting that there are penalties for failing to comply with the terms of each of those license types.
So, Madam Chair, if I may, an important part of both the breweries and distilleries is that this also extends the closing time to 10 p.m., allows limited presentations, classes, and fundraising events on premises. So that's in section 09320 and 09340, and as well as 09330 for the expanding the closing time by 2 hours and allowing other activities to occur. So that was not in a previous section, but it's a new section.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. And since we are having a few questions interspersed here, do you know what the cost is of a brewery license, winery license, distillery license, and how that compares to a bar license? And if you don't have that on the top of your head, if you could get that to the committee.
We can do that, Madam Chair. You're kind of asking two questions. There's the fee for operating versus the license, and you will see that table in your presentation as well, and we can get that answer to you directly for the next meeting.
Thank you. And my question has to do with the license, which is not listed in what we're seeing here. So.
Madam Chair, are you speaking to the actual cost, the renewal cost to a license holder, or the purchase price on the street, so to speak, of a liquor license?
So I am talking about the purchase price, the investment made by the business owner when they decide to go into this type of business.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that clarity. That may take a little longer because obviously the renewal fees are set out in the bill. The other are strictly market forces. And Madam Chair, I will continue again for the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Senator Machicki. We are down to section 09350, which again is relocated and renumbered. It deals with the beverage dispensary tourism license, maintains that annual fee of $2,500. We highlight in magenta that there are penalty sections, again, for violating the terms of that license. The next sections you'll see deal with a seasonal restaurant or eating place license and a winery direct shipment license. Those are both highlighted in green as they are new concepts that are included in Senate Bill 9, as well as the penalties for failure to comply with the terms of those licenses. We set the fee for the license in both cases, and that's generally the extent of that. From there, we go into 09400, which deals with the first of many endorsements. Those sections are highlighted in green, and we are discussing the various types. The first section defines the types of endorsements, and then we list off those endorsements over the next page and a half or so of the sectional, dealing with manufacturing sampling endorsements, multiple fixed counter endorsements, the hotel or motel endorsement, the large resort endorsement, the restaurant endorsement, a package store shipping endorsement, package store repackaging endorsement, a package store sampling endorsement, a bowling alley endorsement, a golf course endorsement, and a brewery repackaging endorsement. Again, all of these sections of endorsements are new concepts, therefore highlighted in green. There are penalty sections, as you will see in the magenta of all of those sections, and there is a little bit of language in each of those sections that has been moved from the duplicate license concept that are currently in Title IV.
Conrad, and if you could just for the sake of time, we're now on page 7 of a very large document. Could you skip the sections that are simply moved around? I think that the committee can see the yellow, and I don't think there's any change, and so I think for the public, you know, we're just putting different, like you would edit an essay. So I don't think that's as significant as if you were to just go to the green and let us know.
Absolutely, Madam Chair. I apologize for taking up the committee's time. I wanted to make sure that we were thorough in the presentation, and I will.
I had asked for that, but I'm just.
It is a large document. It's a 21-page sectional, and it does take a few minutes to go through. Madam Chair, I will move down to the new music festival permit, which is highlighted in green on page 7 of the sectional. This is a new license, and it allows restaurants or eating places to serve beer or wine at a festival held off the holder's licensed premise. This is, I guess, best described as chicken stock. This was put in this last year and is a new concept, as it's highlighted in green. The next section deals with, we're expanding some numbers of nonprofit organization events available per year for a nonprofit organization. Following that, we get into section 09670, which is a package store tasting event permit. This is a new concept, highlighted in green, allows a package store to host a tasting event on the package store's licensed premises with service of it from its own inventory, and then sets time limits and food requirements. These are limited to no more than 6 events per year. That concept is found on page 50 of the bill. From there, we get into a live music or entertainment permit, a new concept, therefore highlighted in green, found in 0409685. This creates a new permit allowing holders of a brewery retail license, a winery retail license, or distillery retail license to hold up to 4 live events, entertainment events per year, sets the hours, and of course these events would have to be permitted, applied for, and permitted by the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. Following that section down in 0409700, we just highlight the fact that there are penalties for failure to comply with various permit requirements. We get into common carrier approval in Article 7. This is a new concept in 0409750, and this is deals with common carrier approval and requires the board to approve a common carrier to transport and deliver alcoholic beverages. This new concept in green can be found on page 52 and 53 of the bill. Next, we have another new section, the unlicensed retail sales, and there are some penalties involved there as a Class A misdemeanor if there is unlicensed retail sale committed by a person. From there, Madam Chair, we have a number of sections you'll see on the bottom of page 8 and page over onto page 9 of the bill, or I'm sorry, of the sectional, dealing with penalties. Again, just to highlight those, and I'm glancing through, I don't see any new references to new penalties, so we're reordering and renumbering there. The following page, page 10 of the sectional, for those following along, that means we're halfway. In section 26 of the bill, a new green section, it's the application for a new license or permit. We're amending 0411260 to exempt winery direct shipment licenses from the application process for other license types. You'll find this new concept on page 58 of the bill. In section 28, a green section, therefore new, is an application for renewal of a license or permit, and again deals with winery direct shipment licenses, found on the following page, page 59 of the bill. Section 30 adds a provision for automatic transfer of a REPL, which is a restaurant eating place license or seasonal restaurant eating place license, if the board takes no action in 90 days. That's a new concept to help with the transfer of those licenses, and found on page 59 and 60 of the bill. Again, we have similar new sections in section 31, which deals with criminal justice information and records, and deals, we're trying to clarify the issuance and renewal of a conditional contractor's permit as it pertains to criminal justice information records. Also on page 60, another section, section 32, again, criminal justice information, and then section 33 is the notice of application. We're adding new subsections to 0411310. To exempt winery direct shipment licenses from the notice requirement. Section 34 is also in green, therefore new, dealing with false statement on an application and defines that crime and the penalties. On page 11 of the sectional, section 40 is noted in green, is the denial of a permit renewal, and we're adding a new subsection to exempt a winery direct shipment licensee from certain provisions in the denial of the application section. Towards the bottom of page 11 of the sectional, you'll see section 48 in green adds a new subsection to allow board delegate authority to the director to impose conditions or restrictions on any permit other than a conditional contractor's permit. Then moving on to page 12 of the sectional, we see four sections in green, 50 through 53, and these deal with population limits and the addition of a section 53, that deals with the municipality's ability to petition for additional restaurant or eating place licenses. This is one of the key pieces of the bill that Senator Machicki referenced, and while we are introducing some new concepts on population limitations in those first three sections, Section 53 is key because it allows a municipality, if the municipality is capped at a certain number of licenses, but they have a business interested in coming into their community, they will be able to provide an application to the Alcohol Beverage Control Board for additional licenses above and beyond the current population cap. So the population cap is a hard cap, but we put a little crack in there so that a municipality can apply for additional licenses. I'll pause, and if there are questions on that, because that is kind of a key piece. Madam Chair, seeing none, I'll just continue on section 58. this is a new section which amends 0411 430 to allow licenses to be issued to a government entity and tribal organizations, and places some residency requirements on corporations and limited liability organizations. The following page of the sectional in section 59, highlighted in green, we introduce a new concept dealing with prohibited financial interest, and we also are removing restrictions on manufacturers owning a retail license. Section 61 of the bill is a new section dealing with prohibited financial interest again, and then section 62 deals with prior public approval. This section is also in green, and we're amending 0411-460 to exempt a winery direct shipment license. Those concepts are found on page 77 and 78 of the bill. From there, if the members would turn to page 15 of the sectional, you'll see a new section, or some new concepts in section 84 that are highlighted in green that deal with the hours and presence on a licensed premises. And this deals with just expanding those hours somewhat. You'll see those in green.
Chairman. Actually, what that does is allow someone to come into the business to do maintenance, which they were not previously allowed to do. For this particular case, which was sort of a common sense allowance to let people keep their facility in top shape.
Thank you for that clarification. Conrad?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next section 85, again, deals with sales, hours of sales and presence on licensed premises, and is found also on page 88 of the bill. Section 87 is marked in magenta, dealing with penalties. Section 88 is a new concept with trade practices and adds a new section to 0416017, specifying illegal practices by manufacturers and wholesalers, and then we have a section of a small piece of that with penalties. Section 90 is a new concept dealing with online sale and purchase of alcoholic beverages, and this adds a new section to 0416022 that is found on page 91 of the bill. The following section deals with penalties, as you can see in magenta. We have a series of penalty sections on the next page of the sectional with two new subsections. I apologize. Penalty sections in section 97. The chair Costello asked to note new sections that deal with penalties. And that deals with the reference to existing penalties for entering and remaining on the licensed premises, and that kind of dovetails back to the access to a facility after hours for maintenance.
Can I just interject for a second? So when I talked about penalties earlier, I wanted to make it clear that serious offenses are still a misdemeanor. Felony offenses in Title IV will still be a felony. The lower level was what I talked about, going from a misdemeanor to a penalty, because it just wasn't effective and we weren't seeing the kind of behavior changes we'd like to see. We want everyone to be top operators. We want to protect youth and people being overserved. So I just wanted to clarify that. We didn't decide that nothing is serious on abusing our laws on alcohol, but they're scaled accordingly.
Thank you for that. We move down to section 112, which is adding a new subsection and defining and dealing with the crime of maintaining a bottle club. We also have new language in section 113, a penalty section, dealing with the sale of prohibited alcoholic beverages. On the next page of the sectional, page 18, you'll see section 114. We're adding a two new subsections, 20416120, and dealing with the removal and introduction of alcoholic beverages. We're setting penalties in that section. As we scroll down through those penalty sections, I don't see any of those that are, I apologize, we get down to section 121 adds new sections dealing with non-compliance on the restriction of purchasing alcohol. Then we go down to section 125 and 126, and we are amending those two sections by adding new subsections that deal with the restriction on purchase and sale of alcoholic beverages, and then furnishing alcoholic beverages in aid of a gambling enterprise. In the following page of the sectional, if you move down to section 134 of the bill, we have a new concept dealing with keg registration. And we're establishing that keg registration process to include proof of age and a registration form requirement to try to cut down on, frankly, underage keg parties. In section 139 of the bill, highlighted in green, we're adding some language that would allow a person may not sell or serve alcoholic beverages or check the ID of a patron at a permitted event unless a person possesses a valid alcohol server card. And if we go to the next page, page 20 of the sectional, move down to section 148, we've got new sections and new definitions because we are adding a series of new sections and new license types. The bona fide restaurant, we're defining a brewed beverage, a calendar year, golf course, kombucha, mead, sake. The next section with a new concept is section 159, which is the winery direct shipment tax. We're adding a new section that establishes for tax collection on those direct winery shipments. And from there into the last page of the sectional are some uncodified law changes, transition language, and effective dates, which have all been updated from the prior versions of the bill. And Madam Chair, members of the committee, that completes 21 pages of the sectional.
Are there questions from committee members? Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to go back to a comment that Senator Machicki made early in terms of breweries not being happy with the bill, because I remember some of this from last year. So what is your issue again? Can you refresh my memory, please? Thank you.
Well, I think my point is, thank you, this is Senator Machicki for the record, and I appreciate the question, Senator Gray Jackson. My only point was not something specific. My point is you may hear from people that want, just like any bill that you pass, you're going to get someone that says, I'd really like it if there was this thing, right? I would really like it if I could have as many breweries as I'd like in the future. I would really like if there wasn't a three-drink limit. Why should I close at 10 p.m. when bars can stay open till 2 or 5, depending on where they are? So you're going to hear some of those things from folks. My comment was really about that fine balance on bringing all those groups together, expanding, removing or reducing some of the control on breweries so they can actually operate. They can actually stay open a little later, have a little fun. If you remember the discussion about fun wasn't allowed earlier on. So not everything's going to be perfect, but my point was that the groups that represent those larger, the breweries, the Brewers Guild supports this bill the way it is. The folks that support other licensees under CHAR, they were involved in all of the sort of massaging to get it where it is today. So you may not have 100% everyone calling in to say this is perfect, pass it the way it is, but what you're going to see is that the vast majority of people and all of the groups that represent them currently support it, including public safety and public health.
Thank you. If I can follow up, Madam Chair.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. And the only reason why I ask is because I remember this bill from last session, and I remember getting emails specifically from breweries. And I couldn't remember in the detail that I wanted to what their issue was, but that's okay, because like you said, we're probably going to get emails again, and I'll be ready to respond. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Senator Machicki.
Madam Chair, thank you through the chair, Senator Machicki again. I got a letter from the chair, so I'm going to make sure I identify myself. Most of the emails, if not almost in 100% of the emails I got from breweries were the ones requesting the changes that are in this bill. The 2 extra hours of operation, the sort of being able to have some harmless, you know, an art class once in a while or something, the kind of thing that they're allowed to have under this bill. So I don't know if that's what you're referring to or not, but the vast majority of the emails I've received have been asking for the things that they can't do today. They have to close at 8 o'clock. There were some folks trying to cut it from 3 beers to 2. There were folks trying to restrict them further. So it's you'd have to look over your emails, but that's probably what you're going to find, I think.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you just remind us, Senator Machicki, of the progress of this bill prior? Did it make it through the Senate? I'm trying to recall.
Well, I hate to talk about past bills because this is a new bill as of its pre-filing date. It passed the Senate unanimously and was 1 vote away. It went through the House unchanged and was 1 vote away from passage.
Well,
we ran out of time due to the same reason, the COVID thing. Yep.
Senator Holland, do you have any comments or questions right now?
No, not at this time.
Okay. I do have a request, and it's not to be answered now, but in any material that has, for example, on the letters of support, you list out the letters. Do you mind just spelling out those acronyms for the committee in a new sheet, and then also where there are acronyms within the sectional, if you could just maybe add cover page or something that says any acronyms that occur. You know, we have so many acronyms that sometimes it's impossible to know them all. And then could you also list who are, Senator Machicki, you mentioned certain groups, Cabaret Hotel and restaurant, I don't know what CHAR stands for off the top of my head, but, and then the there's a guild that you mentioned, the Brewers Guild. Could you provide the committee a list of the membership of those so that when you talk about the support of those organizations, the members of the committee can just see, are there establishments in their district? Or I think it just gives some context to that. And the other question I had, or question I have, is could you just describe, where did most of the objection or challenge come from? Was it philosophical? And what is that? And, you know, where did you see some of the struggles in the past, you know, in the drafting of this particular legislation?
Well, so I know of almost none at this point. But early on, like we started, this is a multi-year effort. Early on, it was tough to get people to agree because one group would try to pass amendments that would legislate the other group out of existence. So the other group would rise up and be oppositional to what those changes might be. But I think a better way, I'm not really answering your question exactly, I think, the way you're asking it, but what got us here, so we didn't go through the presentation, which I was kind of my intent today, was, so there are licenses, there are permits, there are endorsements, okay? The reason we've created endorsements is the reason why Title IV is such a mess is we would literally pass a bill every time somebody wanted to do something different. So you've got this huge title of all these special interest things, and we said, wait a minute, how are we going to do this consistently and still manage public health and public safety? So not only is there the license, which is your right to sell, distribute, or manufacture for 2 years, right? That's a state thing. It's a fixed cost. It's very similar across the board with all the different licensees. But there are the permits, which is kind of a time-limited alcohol sales thing. And then we'd have all these bills that added all these sections of law for a golf course or, this particular business that wanted to do this thing. The endorsements allows consistency on, you have this bar and you want to do this thing, or you have this bowling alley and you want to do this thing, that you can actually now have them available to check off without. That's why it's also reordered, because now it actually is lined up on, you know, licenses, permits, and then how you would add to what you want to serve your customers through a legal endorsement without having this chicken stock issue. We'll now have a fair license and have an event license where people can do those things. So it took a while to get people there. I think originally we had much more opposition as people were kind of struggling about where we were going and why we were going there. And as you know, when you have a lot of opposition, you don't get unanimous support in bodies. I think we've gotten very close to what the industry and public safety sees as being a fairly good mix.
Senator Machicki, when you say chicken stock, could you explain what you mean?
Chicken stock, so I've not been there, but apparently there's a large event in Chicken, Alaska that happens every summer, and they've had trouble with the way that their licensee has provided service. It's made it very difficult. It's sort of been illegal at times until they get these things worked out. There's not a licensee close by that can help them. So we're actually including that sort of in the fair license kind of thing. So there's, if you remember that amendment a couple years back, there was actually a chicken stock amendment. It sounds like fun. They sent me a bumper sticker, but I have not been there, Madam Chair.
And Mr. President, what is that? Is it a fair? Is it a outdoor event?
I think it's the typical Alaska music reason to drive your motor home to a place you wouldn't normally go and buy jewelry made by vendors thing.
Okay.
But I think it's fairly large and very popular.
Thank you. I had to actually ask if somebody else didn't understand what you meant, and I'm glad that you clarified that, because Conrad, you mentioned it too. I was like, am I missing something? I mean, that's what I keep in my refrigerator, so, you know.
Madam Chair.
Senator Holland.
I appreciate that clarification, because I wrote chicken stock question mark right there, because I was going to ask that question sooner or later. But I meant to make a note of it when it went by, and I can't find it now. The part about a region can add a new license, and I read a little bit on it, once every decade or a certain number of licenses per decade. Could you bring that back to my attention?
I can. Madam Chair, this is Senator Machicki for the record. So I support municipalities' ability to grow commerce responsibly in their communities and the way population limits worked. And we did a couple of things in this bill. One of them is if a license is not being used in the borough but outside of the city, we now allow them to move the license into the city that wasn't allowed before. The other thing, and this is the latest concept, is they can actually petition the board for additional licenses. A city like in the Mat-Su, where they're growing fairly rapidly, they're at population limits right now. They're probably looking to get beyond them. But they can petition the board and say, hey, listen, I don't just have this restaurant that wants to come today. We're growing rapidly. We'd like to petition for 5 licenses that you will put on the shelf and that we will issue. Still regulated by the state, but it would allow a municipality to expand the licenses in their community, and then they can petition 10 years later for additional licenses. And we see that as a very positive way to cooperate with municipalities while still having the state be the only ones in the state of Alaska that regulate alcohol licenses. So some municipalities actually like to have the ability to issue licenses however they choose, and that does not have the support of public safety, public health, or other licensees. But in a more limited expansion of their ability to request new licenses, we feel that a community can grow responsibly. And if this works well over time, then there may be the ability to expand that option further.
Madam Chair?
Senator Holland.
So that's more of a restriction than an addition. Before, there was really no regulation of adding new licenses. This is just a way to kind of control the growth?
No, this is an absolute expansion.
Okay.
Many communities are at their cap now and can't have any more licenses. So this is, this is a way for a community that's at their cap to request additional licenses as they're seeing growth. So they can expand the industry a little faster than they would be able to expand with a population limit.
Thank you.
Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Sort of a general question here. We know that the industry has been affected very seriously by COVID. We know that businesses have gone out of business, the closures. Does that change anything in anything in this bill? Does it have an impact? Do you think there's going to be certainly different approaches or concerns by the industry because of COVID?
There may be. This Senator Machicki for the record. There may be requests from them. They were given some temporary regulations to operate a little differently. They could, and I don't want to go too far, but I know that they could sell off-site. They were given some expanded regulations.
A drive-up type?
Yes, and I don't know exactly how far that went. Now, remember, different communities were hit very differently depending on the local restrictions that were put in place. Some were hit very little. Some were severely impacted very negatively. So we're open to hearing from them if there's now that we know what things could look like under certain conditions, if there's something that they wanted to talk about that might improve their ability to respond, I'd love to hear from them.
Thank you.
If I might, Madam Chair, I think that you
if
will
you
find...
Could, mention who you are, just for... Sorry to be...
I apologize.
The teacher and me. Thank you.
Conrad Jackson, staff to Senator Machicki. I think that you will hear, as we did just before recessing, our long recess and then adjourning last year, the stakeholders, the retailers, were very much interested in seeing passage of the bill as we were seeing COVID on the horizon. And their interest and excitement in seeing this bill pass that was very business friendly, I don't believe has changed one iota. In fact, it may even be more so than it was last year after going through the pandemic this summer and through the winter. When you get into public testimony, I would be amazed if you don't hear 100% of the business owners say, we need as much help as we can get.
Thank you. So I did want to mention for the committee that online for questions, we have the Deputy Director of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, Sharon Walsh. And then we have Glenn Klinkhart and Melissa Walter, who are both with the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. And I did have a question for one of you, either Glenn or Melissa. Could you talk about the workload of your agency? You're an office. You know, you handle both the alcohol and the marijuana. And I would like to let the committee have an opportunity to hear from you. How often do you meet? What's your workload like? How long are your meetings? Do you think it's worked to have both combined? Could you just comment on that for me, please?
Good afternoon. Can you hear me, Madam Chair?
Yes, we can hear you, Glenn.
Yes, thank you. I'm trying a new microphone. Hopefully it'll be clearer than my other one. If you could, please, I was trying to unmute myself as well. If you could please just give me a quick overview again. I think I got some of that, but I want to make sure I touch all of your questions.
So previously there was the Alcohol Control Board, and then when we had the Citizens Initiative for the marijuana industry, at some point we combined the boards into one. And my question is, could you tell the committee how often you meet, what your workload is like, whether or not you believe that combining of the two is working, and if so, why, and if not, why? I would be curious to know what it's like.
Wow. That's a really good question, and I'll try to be as broad as I can and let you ask me any questions specifically about how to narrow that down. I was brought in about 14 months ago as the interim director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Board, And so we basically, I have two hats I have to wear, the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, and then I also have the Marijuana Control Board. And these two were put together about 5 years ago when they started this, as you mentioned, Madam Chair. And I think it was more of a matter of convenience. I have since learned that these two boards and the industries, they're similar in some ways, and they're very different in other ways. I sometimes refer to the alcohol board and the industries as those that are the elder statesmen. You know, they've been around a while. They know the rules. People are very familiar with the alcohol industry, bars and restaurants. And then you have the marijuana one, which is kind of the new kid on the block. You know, they're very excited about their new industry. They've been working very hard on that. And so sometimes I have to slow them down. And so we have, being a smaller organization, I think we have about 20 employees, about 8 or 9 investigators. We have our licensing, and we have to wear lots of hats. And so I sometimes forget whether I'm talking alcohol or I'm talking marijuana. But I have to say that we've managed to kind of work with these two different entities in the best way we can. Like any place, if I had more licensing examiners, I had more investigators, I could do a lot more. However, we seem to find a happy balance between what we can do to help this industry and what we can do to help this industry. This bill specifically, one of the first things when I came in was being that my experience is 25 years in law enforcement. As Mr. Conrad said, you know, it's tough to change your a cop's always a cop. But one of the things I looked at was these two industries had a very different way of handling how you punish people. And so this bill, as I went through it, was really good in that it took circumstances where people were being charged with criminal crimes for, in many times, were simply a mistake, or that we were essentially penalizing the person, the part-time worker, and not the actual licensee who may or may not know about it or allow it to happen. So we've been taking some of the things that they mentioned today about the penalties, and we're working to also transfer that over. So we do a lot of juggling of things like that, trying to make it better. The board meets about 4 times a year, which also I always have to remind people they're all volunteers. They're made up of, there's different people on the board, people from public health. There's a law enforcement person. There's two from industry. And So I have been really impressed by the mix on both boards, that for all of them looking at a problem from different vantage points, they come up with some really good answers. Both boards work very well that way. They're both independent of each other, but I find that they both seem to work through these things. Now, COVID has been a whole nother issue. In some ways, I'm kind of glad I was here when this happened, because we were dealing with chaos, as everybody was. The board went from 4 meetings a year to, I think last time I counted, both boards had anywhere from 12 to 14 meetings, because they were trying to do things to help not just the industry, but more importantly, public safety by separating people. And I heard earlier, someone was asking about what are some of those things that the board did, which included trying to get people spread out by allowing them to be able to expand their premises. And Alaskans are amazing. Some of the solutions that people come up with personal domes outside have just been amazing. We were able to make that happen through some of this, as well as curbside delivery, emergency home delivery, things like that. The workload is a lot. I'll be honest, there's a lot to do. I do feel like I'm always going from thing to thing and fire to fire, but we've got a staff that works hard, and both boards have been really incredible. I hope that answers your question,
yes,
Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. And Senator Stevens has a question for you also.
Well, thank you. And this may seem like it's not connected, but I think it is. What did we decide on? I know it's just dealing with alcohol here, but what did we decide on-site consumption of marijuana? Did that pass, or where is that now?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, thank you. It has passed, and there have been, I believe, one or two licenses that have been allowed, although I have to check with my people, and I can get back to you whether or not those have actually been implemented. So it's very much in its infancy, sir.
Well, thank you. And though it seems odd to ask about that when we're dealing with alcohol, but I guess the point I'm trying to make is, are there some commonalities between the two industries in are you learning from this bill things that should be applied to marijuana as well?
I'm sorry, through the chair. Absolutely. Like I mentioned, fines. The fines, I believe, based on my training and experience as a law enforcement officer and now as the interim director, in alcohol were in some cases what I call a hammer versus a feather. And because the idea is you want people to fall into compliance. These that I see here are very reasonable. They were also these fines were developed by folks like Senator Michiki and all of these people, including public safety, the industries. They were not made in a vacuum. And I think that as I went through them, the first thing I saw was these seem reasonable. And again, we're trying to get people to comply. Marijuana, on the other hand, had this very, because they're new, they didn't have a developed, robust regulations. And so you would find fines that could be inconsistent. And in some cases, there were 10 or 100 times more than a very equal fine or penalty in alcohol. In fact, the industry said, hey, that's not fair. And when I looked at it, I was like, that's absolutely right. So one of the things I haven't talked about to many people is that we've actually started the process of taking the fines that you see in this bill. And we've already started a working group, and we were coming up with very similar fines for marijuana, so that hopefully at the end of the day, when all is said and done, we're going to have two sets of penalties that are reasonable, equitable, but more importantly, that when somebody violates them, that we get them back on track. So it's really been interesting to be able to kind of use those two and try to come up with a system that works. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate those comments. I'm glad you are there. I would hesitate to ask Senator Michiki to include marijuana in his bill, but interesting to know that there are so many commonalities.
Madam Chair, I don't take that as a question, so I won't answer it, but I'm really hoping to not see that amendment.
Understand.
So, Glenn, I've been looking at Section 3, and I've decided that REPL must stand for Restaurant Eating Place License. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Yes. So my question has to do with, are you or perhaps the department, and Sharon is online with the corporations, business, and professional licensing, but I'm curious to get a list of restaurants and eating places that have transferred ownership, I'd like to know when the ownership transfer happened and if they have not had their beer and wine license transferred, I'd like to know, I guess you could look at the date today and just say, well, they've been waiting a long time or however long they've been waiting. But I would just like to have a list of those that are still waiting for their transfer, if that's okay.
Yeah, let me just make sure that I get exactly what you're looking for, Madam Chair, that you're looking for a list of any restaurant eating places that are looking to transfer their license from, and how long that took or when it took and how many are still pending. Is that accurate?
I'm just interested in the ones that are pending and when the transfer of ownership happened and how long it's been that they're waiting.
All righty. We can absolutely get that for you. Okay. And in fact, I recently had staff doing some of that analysis as well, because I was curious.
And then if in that you could put the community that this that the restaurant or eating place exists, that would be helpful to the committee.
All righty, absolutely.
With that, are there any other questions of committee members? Okay, so my plan is to hold this bill. I know, Senator Michicki, you have the PowerPoint. I think we'll go ahead and ask members to look at that in their offices and maybe ask your staff if they have questions, and then at some point in the future we will actually ask you to come before the committee to go over that PowerPoint. So again, we will hold this bill for further consideration. I want to thank you for taking the time to explain it to the committee and for the color coding of the sectional. That was very helpful. I appreciate that. So this concludes today's meeting. Our next meeting will be Monday, February 15th at 1:30 here in the Belts Room. We will be hearing Senator Rivack's bill, Senate Bill 69, which is an exemption for renewable energy electric plants. So with that, I want to thank the members, thank those who are online, and thank the bill sponsor for being here and your staff, Conrad. Really appreciate it. And with that, we're adjourned.